We are going to, as Pastor Debbie said, go to the next message and the final message. This was a great series, wasn't it? Did you girls enjoy that, the priorities? We could really go on with that like forever because we never stop learning. But redefining our priorities means that sometimes we've defined our priorities, but things didn't work out. Something is out of whack and out of balance that we have to revisit it and redefining it in order to line up with what God has for us in our lives. And we are going to talk about that today in the area of social relationships. So the topic today is social relationships, two parts to that, and may God help us to get to both. I'm going to try my best. The first part we're going to talk about is personal friendships. And then secondly, we're going to touch on social community relationships, your relationships socially outside of your house in your community. Now, I can be honest with you, we're going to spend more time on the personal friendship part and then some time on the social part. So I want us to get started with this, with personal friendships, defining friendship. So we're going to start with a little practical application here. If you look on your tables, every one of you have a handout of an assessment. Every week in this series, you have been challenged to fill out this assessment to get a determination of where you are in this specific area. So turn the page around to the blank on the back, and on there, I'm just going to give you a moment to write down there in one sentence what would be your definition of friendship. Let's start with where you are at this morning and write down on there your definition of friendship. You're not going to have to share it if you don't want to. It's personal between you and God. So just be honest in there. If you have to say my definition or my personalized definition for friendship, what would that be? I want to just give you a moment to write that down on there. One sentence. Okay. So just hold on to that, okay? So we're going to revisit that later. Here's mine. I'm going to read you mine. I was thinking about it, and this is what I wrote. I wrote, someone who brings joy and comfort, expresses care and love, not expecting anything in return except for me to just be who I am. That was my definition. Now take a look at that definition that you wrote down of what your idea of a friend is or friendship is, and measure yourself at that. How are you doing with your own definition? Because it's one thing to write a definition, and now I can look and say, okay, am I somebody who brings joy, express care and love, not expecting anything in return from that person except for that person to just be herself? You know, when you turn it on yourself, it gets a deeper meaning. So just hold on to that. And we are going to hopefully or possibly redefine that definition or add something or take something back. So this is very close to the heart of each one of us in this place. Friendship is something that brings up negative emotions and positive emotions. How many of you in this place, when you hear the word friendship, something comes up in your heart that's negative, that is a painful memory or discomfort of any sort? Do you want to show me? Just be honest. Anyone in this place, when you say friendship, there's pain associated with that in your life. I think that is true for many, many of us. So let's just ask the Lord to bless this word and speak to our hearts today. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, to be the preacher and the teacher in this room today, God. We are your women, we are your girls, God, and you have put us together. We've been broken, and again, you have grabbed all the pieces and put us back together. You redeemed us. So thank you, God, that we can serve you, Lord, knowing that you are our creator. You know exactly how we are put together because you put us together. So thank you for being in this place, for your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Let us hear and let us say exactly what it is that you have for us this morning. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you as an introduction personally, as far as friendships for me, I had a little bit of a discussion with Pastor Debbie and saying, friendship, you know, I know how to mess friendships up. I know that. You know, God has given me amazing friendships in this house and with the pastors in this place are absolutely God people standing next to me, encouraging me. I read one definition that is so true. It says a friend, or a quote, a friend is somebody who knows the song of your heart and sings it back to you when you forget the words. Isn't that just beautiful? So, you know, there are times in my life that I get into places that I forget the song. And I have God girls next to me that sing that song back to me. And if you do not, you know, don't worry. Don't worry. We are going to minister to you and comfort your hearts and see what God has. So I have amazing friends. I've also had to say goodbye to a lot of friends in my life. I have moved thousands of miles multiple times in my life. And I have found that some friends are forever friends. I went back to South Africa this Christmas where I was born and raised and used to live 20 years ago. I met up with people, friends and family I haven't seen for 20 and 24 years. And something amazing happened. Some of them, the moment we came back into each other's presence, it is as if time is irrelevant. Time just became irrelevant. It's like, wow, you know, it's almost like we have not missed a day being together. But now we always, you know, friendship is great when you have somebody right there with you, you know. If distance is one thing, but having friendships close by is another. And as I say, I can totally write a book of people and friendships and what to do, and probably the biggest part of the book will be what not to do, because I have messed up friendships. I have gotten hurt in friendships. But, you know, it is going to be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end yet. So in your friendships, if it's not okay, if your heart is not at peace and at rest as far as relationships, it's going to be okay, because the end of a matter, the Bible says, is better than the beginning, and the end, this is not the end yet. Okay, so we are going to see Proverbs 18:24. Let's read that, because that's a key to friendships. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. That word be. If you remember anything today, remember be. Be a friend, okay? Listen to this. If you had to redefine friendship, think of your own life being a friend and having friends. If friendship meant, and the only thing friendship meant was to be a friend, how would that change your life? Think again. If friendship means being a friend, and that's all it means, how would that change your life? And you know, the revelation is that is what friendship is. That's the only thing you and I can control in our lives, and we have the choice as far as friendship, is how and to be a friend. And listen, if there's any part other than me being a friend that I'm trying to control in my friendships, that friendship is just voided. Listen to this. If you exercise control in friendship outside of you choosing to be a friend, that's not a friendship. You have now crossed over to the unhealthy side. It's no longer a friendship, because there's manipulation, there is control, unfulfilled expectations, broken hearts, bitterness, and all kinds of things that come out. So, friendship is giving, okay? I want you to remember that it is being. Let's look at why we need friends. We know what friendship is. Let's look at why we need friends. I got this thing, this little printout. Darlene sent it to me. They teach it at Stanford. Remember, you forwarded this, emailed it to me. It says, I just finished taking an evening class at Stanford University. The last lecture was on the mind-body connection, the relationship between stress and disease. The speaker, the head of psychiatry at Stanford, said, among other things, that one of the best things that a man could do for his health is to be married to a woman. Yeah? The reverse doesn't seem to be true, though. Listen to this. One of the best things a woman could do for her own health was to nurture her relationship with her girlfriends. It's not that your husband is not your friend, but listen to this. Men are different. You know, at first glance, everybody laughed, but this person was serious. Women connect with each other differently and provide support systems that help each other to deal with stress and difficult life experiences. Physically, this quality, girlfriend time, helps us to create more serotonin, a neurotransmitter that helps combat depression and can create a general feeling of well-being. Women share feelings, whereas men often form relationships around activities. They rarely sit down with a buddy and talk about how they feel about certain things or how their personal lives are going. After 28 years of being married to one man, I still sit down and say to him, "So how do you feel about this or that?" And he gives me a blank stare because he is petrified, scared to death. He's saying the wrong thing because, you know, it's not that he's not in touch with his feelings. They are just some feelings he doesn't have, I guess. So, you know, cars, yes. Sports, yes. Fishing, hunting, yes. But their feelings, rarely. Women do it all the time. We share from our souls with our sisters, our mothers, and evidently that is good for our health. He said that spending time with your girlfriend is just as important as to your general health as jogging or working out in a gym. As you jog, work out in the gym, your body, spending time with your girlfriends is just as healthy because it manifests in your physical health. There's a tendency to think that when we are exercising, we're doing something good with our bodies, but when we are hanging out with friends, we are wasting our time and should be more productively engaged. Not true. In fact, he said, this is a professor, the Bible confirms it, or the Bible said it first. He said that failure to create and maintain quality personal relationships with other humans is as dangerous to your physical health as smoking. Your inability to have friendships with other people actually will affect your physical health the same way smoking would. So every time you hang out with a gal pal, just pat yourself on the back. Okay, girls, we are all here. Just do this. Pat yourself on the back and congratulate yourself for doing something good for your health. We are indeed very, very blessed. So let's toast to our friendship with our girlfriends. You being here this morning is actually very good for your health. Okay? So there we go. Let's see what the Bible say about why we need friendships. Quickly, three things. It makes you more powerful. How's that? Ecclesiastes 4:12 in the Message Bible says, it's better to have a partner than to do it alone. Share the work, share the wealth. And if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. Two in a bed, warm each other. Alone, you shiver all night. And that does not just mean in bed. That means in in trouble, in life, you know? By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? I suggest the third be God. A three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. You are just simply more powerful as a person when you are in a friendship, according to the Word of God. Okay, let's see the next one. It makes you stronger, smarter, and sharper. Anybody wants to be stronger, smarter, and sharper? Here's the scripture. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27:17. Sharpening each other. I tell you what, when that iron sharpens the iron, sometimes it gets a little friction going, a little heat going, and sparks may fly. And when you run from the situation, you're going to remain blunt. So you can basically gauge your bluntness or sharpness by your friends and how you have been changed through friendship. The third reason why you should have friendships is it makes you richer. Look at this one. Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume delight the heart. You know, it's actually scientifically proven that fragrances and perfumes and ointments finds its way inside your body and actually has an effect on your physical body. And this is what it says here: ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. That means counsel from the heart. Isn't that amazing? So there are good reasons in the Bible why we should have friends. I want us to look a little bit at some supernatural friendships in the Bible. Let's look at some examples in the Bible then. Three little examples in scripture that we're going to briefly touch on of some relationships between people that we read and look at, and it's like, wow, that is so amazing, and that is what we want. You know, you go through life, really. Your life is really not measured in years. Your life is measured really by moments spent with other people. You think about it like that. So let's look at the scripture. The first one I want us to look at is the story about Jonathan and David. Okay? In Jonathan and David's lives, it was about the friendship standing the test of time and of trials. Okay? Here is Saul. Saul is the king. And Saul has a son called Jonathan. And Saul is a king that lifts up his heart and disobeys the Lord. He does things in rebellion. Samuel has the hardest time with him. And finally, he is so lifted up in his heart that God is no longer blessing and with Saul and with a king of the land at the time. So God says to the prophet, go to a certain place and anoint another king because Saul has displeased me and I have a plan for another king. But now Saul, in his household, there's a prince. His name is Jonathan. Jonathan is his son. He's a man of valor. He's a man loved by the people. He's a man, really, that has most all the qualities of a prince in order for him to follow up, like God had promised, if Saul should stay with God, the throne will go to the next generations. But God chooses to anoint a young man called David. Now, you have read the story. So here Saul is with the presence of God, you know, parting from him. He gets all depressed and he gets sad and he's looking. And somebody said, why don't you get this man that is a musician, come in and play the flute? And so he gets, and it happened to be David. And David comes in and he plays for Saul, and it calms him down. And so here's David, this young man that's only known to, you know, watching sheep for his father, now playing in the courts of Saul very successfully because he has now already been anointed as king. Not king yet, but the prophet has already anointed him. So one day, David hears the voice of Goliath. You know the story that tells, you know, the Philistines, who can come against me? And everybody is shaking because this giant wants to take out the people. And David's father tells him to take some food to David's brothers, who are soldiers in Saul's army now. David is not, but he overhears. Faith rises up in his heart because he remembered how he protected the sheep. He slayed wild animals, a bear and a lion before. He stands up, you know the story, and he kills the giant. He goes into the presence of Saul with Jonathan being there, and Saul asks him questions, and he tells Saul about what happened and who he is. And at that moment, Jonathan fell in love in a friendship way with David. Because now remember, Jonathan is also a man of war. He's a man of valor. He's the prince. And he hears the story of David and he is so totally impressed. At that moment, God melted their hearts together, started a friendship there that would be unbreakable. Because, make a long story short, what happens at that moment, Jonathan is so impressed. He takes off his robe. He takes his armor. He takes all his, you know, items that gives rank, that gives power, that identifies him. He takes it off of himself and he gives it to David. He is so impressed. And they making a covenant to remain friends forever. So Saul gets mad at David because David is now getting fame because of who he is and all the battles he's winning. And he starts chasing after David, trying to kill him. And multiple times, Jonathan saves the life of David. Now you understand, this is a whole picture of possibility of things that could go wrong. But David sticks with Saul being the anointed of God, and he's not going to touch Saul's life because he could have killed the king when nobody was looking. But he didn't. And Jonathan and Saul, Jonathan was told by his father to go kill David, and instead he went and warned him and saved his life. So there was this amazing friendship that you know, is a lot to talk about, but this friendship goes even till after the death of Jonathan. Jonathan and Saul dies. Saul falls on his own sword. Jonathan dies. David hears about it, and he cries. Could he have not said, finally, you know, God is the God of justice? But he actually finds out how Saul died, because the man that did the mercy stab and death of Saul was halfway dead, asked a man to kill him, came and told David that, and David said, although that man was half dead, how dare you touch the anointed of God? And he had that man put to death. That is how firm he was in his convictions. He writes a song about Saul and Jonathan and commands it to be taught to the whole nation. This song needs to be sung. And even after death, he goes and he finds Jonathan's son. He brings him in and takes care of him. It is a picture of friendship that is supernatural. So many things we can learn from that. Two people, two princes, because David married into the family, married the king's daughter. So there was just all this opportunity for things to go wrong. But they had a covenant, they had a relationship, and they stuck with it. Jonathan gave everything he had, and David gave back everything he had. A picture of just an amazing friendship. But what about the girls? What about the women in the Bible? Let's look at Ruth and Naomi. There's a story about Ruth and Naomi. Now, many of you are very familiar with it, just briefly. Naomi lives in Judah with her husband and two sons. Drought and famine comes. She moves to Moab to get away from the famine to go to provision. So she lives there with her husband and her sons. Husband dies. So the sons take wives. One is Ruth and one is Orpah. And the two sons marry, and after a while, the sons die. So who is left over? Here's Naomi with Ruth and Orpah, the two daughters-in-law, in a strange land. So Naomi hears that back in Judah, you know, the famine is over, and she wants to go back, and Orpah and Ruth said, I'm going with you. And Naomi, and they travel, and the Bible says at some point, Naomi turned around to these two women and tell them to go back. She realizes she doesn't have any more sons. She doesn't want to put pressure on these women. She sends them back to Moab. Orpah turns around. She cries and she goes back. And Ruth says, no, I am not going back. Listen, circumstances were against their friendship. Don't you think that's enough reason for the Moabite Ruth to go back to her land and let her mother-in-law going? She's a mother-in-law. She's getting older. She's going to have no more sons that she can marry. And here is what she says. Ruth replied and she said, don't urge me to leave you, to turn back from you. Where you go, I go. And where you stay, I stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me. But be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Wow. There were circumstances and even death. Ruth says, you know, I don't care if you chase me away. I don't care if you wanted to greet me with tears even and send me back for my own good, but I am sticking with you, because there was a bond between these two women. And Ruth decided she is staying with Naomi. She had all the reason to turn around, but she says, even death will not part us. And if you read on in the story, long story short, Ruth becomes the grandmother of King David. In the genealogy of Jesus, when she marries Boaz. I mean, I don't know if I would have obeyed my mother-in-law if she would tell me, you know, what Naomi told Ruth. Pastor Debbie preaches that message so amazingly. And we've heard that message before. And every time I hear it, I think, oh, wow, I don't know if I could have done that, you know, go crawling at the feet of Boaz and just be there when he wakes up. I know there's a cultural connotation to that, but she did everything her mother-in-law told her to do because they were tight. They were tight, such a picture of commitment and friendship. Then the third one and last example I want to share with you is in the New Testament is Mary and Elizabeth. Now, I love this one. I love the story of Mary and Elizabeth because here the angel comes to Mary and says to her, "You are with child." And she's like, "But I haven't been with a man." And the angel said to her, "But the Holy Spirit came over you. And your relative Elizabeth is also expecting a baby. And remember, she's old." That's also a miracle, basically. She's also expecting a baby that was unbelievable. So what did Mary do? Mary is this young woman. How was she going to go tell her friends and people in her community when she gets a little bigger and a little bigger and now she's obviously pregnant and she has to tell them, "I haven't had intercourse with a man." You can see the others looking at her and say, "Yeah, right." Mary, listen to this. Mary needed somebody who would believe her. Mary needed somebody that she could trust. Mary needed somebody that was walking in the impossible as she was walking in the impossible. And she turned around and the Bible said she went straight to Elizabeth and she spent 3 months with Elizabeth. She's the woman. Do you have that in your life? Do you have an Elizabeth when nobody may believe you? Nobody may understand you. You know, there is somebody in your life that God has already placed in your life that understands, that's been where you are. That maybe it is just saying, "Lord, what is your will for me in relationships?" Because I just think it's two generations or more. I mean, Elizabeth was older. Mary was very young. And I just love it. I could just see them sitting together in the tent and just being there for each other. Such a picture of amazing friendship. Now, going from those pictures we have of amazing friendship, doesn't it just do something to your heart? Doesn't it just touch your heart? Because we are created to want connection and relationship. But sometimes things go wrong. Any one of you have walked through broken relationships, let's say with girlfriends. Anybody know the pain of broken relationships with other women? That's just about like 100% of you in here. So let's look at reasons friendships fail. We have to touch on this. Reasons friendship fail. Now, there may be many, but God put just three on my heart. Let me give them to you. I call them friendship pitfalls. The first one is too much honey. Do you love that? Too much honey. Okay, before we go to the scripture, can I give you a story about this? I've been trying to cut out sugar. Not doing a good job. I just had a big piece of cake. I made that coconut cake you told me about, Pastor Debbie. Best thing I've ever had. But I wasn't going to eat sugar. And I ate the cake. So I decided I'm going to do honey. It's amazing what you can do with honey. It is amazing. It will make everything sweet. And it's actually good for you. So this is what I found out about honey. I never knew this. One day last week or so, it was a day I decided to fast. Usually I just drink water. So this day I'm on water, but I thought, let me just put a little bit of honey. It actually works really well. So, put a spoon of honey, and that honey heating my insides with no food in there. Any one of you know what honey does to you? It's good. If you want a cleansing, if you want to get rid, it actually does. And I read up, I Googled it, and it does. It actually does. So, if you take honey, in moderate amounts, it's very healthy for you, but too much honey will actually overstimulate your insides and make things to go, you know, out before they're supposed to. That I found out, you know, just didn't know it. So that is why I say, you already see where this is going, right? Honey is good, but too much honey, although it's sweet, is gonna give you, you know what, you know? So the Bible says, it's in the Bible. Why did we never see this? You know, Pastor Debbie always says, everything means something. It's true. Look at this. Proverbs 25:16-7. If you have found honey, I think it's so funny. Eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. It actually does that. That is so cool. I wouldn't have known it if I didn't fast last week and ate the honey. It's real. Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Would you ever look at honey the same way again? Listen, the Bible says friendship is like honey. You just take whatever is appropriate. It's like friendship. If you are always on the phone with your friend, if you are always in the house with your friend, if you are overdoing it with a friendship, your friend's going to vomit you out. She's going to get just plain sick of you. The Bible says your friends can get sick of you. I'm sorry. But it's true. It's true. But I just love the word. Don't you just love that honey analogy? Ay, ay, ay. It's healthy still. Go fast today, honey and water. Oh, I cannot tell you to do those kind of things. But listen. Okay. Then 1 Timothy 5:13. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies saying things they ought to not say. So this is where the honey gets too much and makes you sick. Because if you spend too much time with one friend, with a friend, and you overdo it, it's going to switch over into gossip. It's going to switch over into an unhealthy relationship because you're going to run out of good stuff to say. You just sure as God is my witness. If too much of a friend, you will run out of good stuff to say and you will switch over into idle talk and babblings and gossips and all that. And the Bible says that gossip kills friendships. Look at this. Proverbs 16:28 says, a gossip separates close friends. So don't gossip and don't listen to anybody gossiping. It will destroy you and it will destroy your relationships. When you have a friend, don't believe anything until you hear it out of that person's mouth. If we learn only that one thing today, we will be more healthy in our relationships. We are so ready to believe the negative. We are so ready to believe somebody stabbed us in the back. We are so ready to believe all that stuff. But listen, it's gossip. Many times it's just gossip and the Bible says it'll kill your friendships. Okay. What is another pitfall? It can hurt. Just flat out, it could be painful. And what is this? Iron sharpens iron. Listen, friendships are painful. Faithful is the wound of a friend, Proverbs says. I'm like, what in the world is that supposed to mean, God? The wound of a friend? A friend wounds me, I run away. Anybody with me? Wounding, blood, stabbing. If there's a wound of a friend maybe is honest with you, maybe a friend messes up because nobody is perfect, and you get wounded in a friendship, as soon as you hurt, you run. There are times you should run, but there are many times you should not run. You should stick it out. You should say, God, look at my heart. I'm made of iron. My friend is made of iron and things are getting heated. Things are hurting. But God, what is it that you want to sharpen in my life? Because remember we said iron sharpens iron. You get sharper. You get stronger. You get smarter in life when you let that pain change your heart. But when you run away, you are not learning the lesson. It's going to happen again because the same unhealthiness that God wanted to get out of your friendship is going to manifest itself in the next friendship. So deal with it. Deal with the pain. in friendships. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs 27:5. Listen, this is what God showed me. I was waiting on the Lord for this message. And here's the key. It was just fun. The way I heard these words. Friends are not always there for the reasons that you think. When things get tough and when things hurt, listen to this wisdom. Some friends are for a reason in your life. It may not be a David and Jonathan. It may not be a Ruth and Naomi or Elizabeth and Mary. But there's a reason God placed them in your life because of something he wants to work out in you. Or maybe support you, or you support that person through something. Sometimes friendships are for reasons. If you look back and you've lived long enough, you will be able to identify those people that God brought into your life for a reason. Others are for a season. Okay? It is good that it's just for a season. Maybe painful, but it's God. They come into your life for a season and they leave. And that is not bad necessarily, but it will heal your heart maybe this morning. It will heal your disappointment maybe this morning. When you think about a lost friendship, and the word of the Lord is saying to you this morning, that was probably for a season. So take out of it, remember the good of it, and thank God for the time you had those friends. That is how you have to look at it and leave the pain and all the junk to God and say, thank you, God, that we had a good season. But some are just for seasons. So there's a reason. There's a season. Some are forever. It will just never, it's just cemented. Whether you are together or not, some friends are just forever. And some friends are for never. Don't you love that? Some for a reason, some for a season, some forever, and some for never. Ooh, those for never friends. They should be for never. There may be people that you want to manipulate a friendship with. There may be people that you think you should have a friendship with. There may be people that are not good for you. And it's just never going to happen. It's just maybe a for never friend. So just let it heal your heart. Don't carry these offenses and pain. Some people are just not ever going to be your friends. So just move on. So, okay, some are for a reason, some for a season, some forever, some for never. And just on the side, we've had teachings about this in this house before. There are levels of friendships too. People in your life come in different realms. The first realm, maybe furthest from you, is the crowd. There's a crowd of people that you hang with, you know, thousands of people at the church, hundreds of people in places. Then there's the people that are closer to you that you are in community with. You interact with them. You maybe have a relationship with them, but they are part of the community around you. Maybe you have, 10, 20, Jesus had 12 around him. People that know you. That you get to touch, they get to touch you. But then there's another realm, and that is the core. So it's the crowd, the community, and then there's the core. And if you have one in a lifetime, thank God for it. If you have two, you are blessed. And if you have three, you need to write a book about it. At any one time in your life, you may only have one. You may have two, but those are the core friends. Those are the ones that's God people in your life, where it can be the David and Jonathan, where, listen, as they get to know you, they get to know your faults, right? But they still love you. Isn't that just amazing? There's something in friendship about just being allowed to just be yourself. That is the most freeing thing in the world. So listen, if there's any pressure, any resentment, any anger and stress, just don't even go there or check your hearts. I'm going to give you the ABCs, actually, of friendship. I had three things, and now let's go to the ABCs because these are the foundational things of friendships. If you can take these ABCs and measure those things in your life to see if your friendships are healthy. Okay, so bottom line, I forgot one point. Okay, let me back up. Another pitfall. Number three is you want to have one but not be one. Number one is too much honey. Number two, it can hurt and you want to run away. Sharpens iron. Number three, you want to have a friend, but you don't want to be a friend. So listen to this. Wanting to have a friend is not friendship at all. Being a friend is friendship. Okay, let's go to the ABCs of healthy relationships. A, B, and C, three things. This is what you measure your friendships on. Number one, assess your motives. Number one, assess your motives. Why are you in this relationship? It be consciously or subconsciously? Listen, do you have expectations? Do you have stress, pressure, disappointment, resentment, impatience? There's something out of whack with your motivation because you are experiencing all these negative things because you are probably filled with expectations about all about you. So you have to check your motives. This is the check. Am I in this for me or am I in this to be? Hey, that rhymes. Am I in this for me or am I in this to be a friend? Okay? And here is where you may have to redefine. Those disappointments are present in your relationships. Your heart is in the wrong place because you have things in your heart that's not happening. B is for be a friend and love it. First one is assess your motives. B is be a friend and love it. Listen, just be the friend. Just be. Do you know how much stress that would take off of you? Just be. Just be the friends. But when in your relationship you are disappointed and judgmental and critical, you are really all in it for me. You are singing, "It's all about me." You know that song? It's all about me. Move away from that. It's not about you. If it is about you, you are manipulative, you are controlling. It's not called a friendship. Friendship is to be. Okay, C stands for choose wisely. You always have a choice. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. Somewhere else it says, you know, don't be unequally yoked. Bad company corrupts good morals. Proverbs 22:24-25, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man or woman, lest you learn his ways or her ways, entangle yourself in a snare. So it's completely biblical to choose your friendships, and some of those for never friends, they may be just a godly way and a good way for you. You don't have to really turn against anybody. Just pursue godly friendships. Okay, just become the friend. So here we have the ABCs. Assess your motives in your heart. Be a friend and love it without grumbling. And C, choose wisely. So if you are in some unhealthy relationship, you're in it for the wrong reason, or you are not being a friend yourself, or you just didn't choose wisely for that person to be your friend. Does this make any sense to you? So here we have friendship. It's pitfalls and it's funs and it's joys. And God's will is for you to have good relationships. And I want to urge you, if you are sitting here and you are in a relationship or you're not figuring this out, keep coming to Girlfriends. This is a place where we connect. This is a place where we get healthy. This is a place where we get challenged with the Word of God that can change you, that can make you and mold you. But just the mere fact that we are talking about friendship today, and the topic of our series is redefining your priorities, means to me that probably every one of us need to twig our definition of friendship a little bit today. twig it and say, Lord, okay, because, you know, it's going to bring peace in your heart. It is going to lower the stress. It is going to bring you joy as you step out and saying, okay, I get it. I see. My focus needs to be on being a friend. Leave the rest to God. If it's a friendship that's meant to be, it will be. If it's a friendship that's not meant to be, that's fine. Just let it be. Listen, it's going to be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end yet. If it is going to be okay, God says it's going to be okay in the end. And if it's not okay in your lives, it's not the end yet. So God is working on you. He's working in you. So I just want to take a few moments, maybe just a few minutes to go to the social piece. Is that okay? No? Should we just end it right here? Okay.
If we get any more, we're going to forget.
Okay.
Was that good?
Yes.
That's awesome. But I wanted to just have a chat. Can we just talk back and forth for just a minute? Because I think friendships are extremely challenging. And like you said, I love there was the community.
Yes.
No.
The crowd.
There was the crowd, the community, and
the core.
And you said that if in our lifetime we had how many friends?
In the core.
In the core.
Thank God for one. Two, three. You should write a book. That's my assessment of it.
It was awesome. And I was just thinking about Jesus, and that's yes. really what we learn this from him, because he had, of course,
yeah.
he had the crowd,
God.
Right? Yeah. He identified with mankind,
yeah,
and he loves humanity,
yeah,
and that's the social piece, and we're actually going to get into that in Proverbs 31.
Great, great.
But then there was the community, which was his disciples, and he had many.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there was the core, and who was the core?
The three. That were closest to
the inner circle.
Yeah.
And that was
John and
James and Peter.
Yeah.
There was three.
Because they shared experiences that Jesus didn't share with the rest. Right?
So yeah. Not everybody's going to be your friend. Not everybody's called to be that in that level of friendship with you. And I remember Dr. Vanessa, I don't know if she's here
she's
today.
Right there.
Where's Dr. V?
Let's identify her this
Dr. V. You taught on friendship, and you taught us about this, and it was so good. I never forgot it. I wrote it down. And I was just thinking about just some of the things you said, if we can just talk about it for a second before we go to the tables. You said that, you know, you talked about Jonathan and David, and then you talked about Ruth and Naomi, and yeah. then you talked about Mary and Elizabeth. And I was just thinking, if we could take each one of those and just get one point from them.
Yeah.
Jonathan and David, if there's one thing Jonathan did over and over and over again, and this is about being a friend. Well, okay,
yeah.
I'm supposed to be a friend, but how do I do that?
Yeah.
How do I be a friend? Jonathan, even though he was the one to be king, he absolutely, positively realized that God's call was on David and
right.
not him. He
right.
saw that.
Yeah.
And Jonathan defended David mm-hmm. in front of his father mm-hmm. continually.
Yeah.
And I think if there's one thing I can learn from Jonathan and David, and there's many, it's that a real friend will defend you when
right.
no one's around.
Right. Yeah.
yeah. Because there's an old saying, you are who people say you are when you're not around.
Yeah.
You are who people say you are when you're not around. Everybody can love you to your face, but what do they really think when you're not there? And that's the bottom line, isn't it? So if we're going to be real friends, then that means that when you have an opportunity and they're not around, it's always to bring out the best in that person.
Yeah, to defend
Never
them.
The worst.
Right.
Number one. Number two, we looked at Ruth and Naomi. That was an amazing friendship. I mean, the name Ruth means friend.
Wow, that's awesome.
And so she did many, many things, but you yeah. went to chapter one, which was when she said, entreat me not to leave you.
Right, right.
Loyalty.
Yeah, total loyalty.
I mean, a real friend is loyal.
Yeah.
You want to be a friend? Then if God's put a woman in your life, then you be loyal to her.
Yeah.
What is loyalty?
Not circumstantial, right?
That's the good,
yeah.
the bad, and the ugly. And you know, the closer you get to somebody, the closer you can see the uglies. And everybody's got them.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fear, is that If people get too close to me, are they going to not like me? Well, duh. Really? Right? Because we all have messed up things. God's working on all of us. What? Yeah. Is there a perfect person here except Jesus? Excuse me. But if you're going to be a friend, then be loyal to that girl. And number three, when you talked about Mary and Elizabeth, I mean, that's such a precious story to me. Because I, like you, I think about Mary. My gosh, what was she thinking? You know, yeah. I'm pregnant with God. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Sure.
But when the angel Gabriel told her to go see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, out of her mouth before anything ever happened, Elizabeth said, "Who am I that the Son of my Lord would come to me?" She was the confirming witness. And a real friend will confirm the will of God and the plan of God for your life. So if you've got friends in your life, girls, and they don't say good things about you when you're not around, and you know it, they're not loyal, and they are not confirming the plan of God in your life. They are not a friend.
Right.
And Elle said, choose your friends wisely. That's what the word says. Some of you need to disengage from unhealthy relationships here. I can tell you right now, when I got saved, all the people that I loved in the world, all my friends, they left me. They didn't like me anymore because I wasn't partying and getting stoned and doing all the stuff that we were all doing, going to the bar, sleeping around, all the things we were doing. Some of you have got friends in here like that, and you know what? It's time to let them go. It's okay. God's going to bring you new friends. But if they can't confirm the will of God for your life, they are not a friend.
Yeah.
So I just thought this was, I mean, I have notes everywhere from this. That's why I said, you know, it was amazing. The ABCs, assess, be, and choose. Awesome. Everything. Honey. I mean, all us bulimic girls, now we're going to go home and have honey and water. You know?
Be careful, though, okay? It will wash you out.
Who
good.
Knew? You know? I mean, only Elle could come up with that.
Don't take too much, the Bible says.
Is that awesome? Thank you for finishing out this series, Eleanor.
Awesome.
It was amazing. To the tables, let's talk about this, and your best friend could be sitting right next to you.
Yeah.